Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
He's even saying,
I was saying,
oh, yeah, yeah, huh?
It's so nice to be here with the two of you.
Oh, you do
to talk about stuff, man.
What do you got for us this week? This is how the kids do hearts these days. Did you know that?
They just,
it's very, probably it's like K pop.
Oh, you're going like this,
that. Yeah, like that.
I see.
It's not this anymore. It's
look
this.
At us. Okay, everybody, look in the camera and say we're relevant. On three, 1, 2, 3. We're relevant.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The old school phone.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What do you got for us today? This boys. This day. This week. This boy.
I've been reading. Listener stories the last couple weeks. I got another one. Uh-huh. You guys into that?
Sure.
Yeah. This one is by Significant Neck. It's posted 6 days ago, called A Ghost Experience, Maybe? Here we go. Hey, y'all. I had an experience lately that I'd love everyone's opinions on. Alex, if you're reading this, you may relate to it a bit with some of the weird stuff you've experienced at your home, and I'd love to get your opinions as well. So if you want to read it on the pod, feel free. Well, I have. A few years ago, I moved into my current home. It's a tiny little 2-bed, 2-bath, second floor condo that's the perfect size for my dog and me. The layout is kind of shaped like an L with the living room and kitchen at the end of the lower bit. Okay. The spare bedroom in the lower corner. And then the master bedroom at the top of the L. Each room has a television and all the TVs are Vizios. Okay. I guess these days TVs go to a screensaver if they're on too long, and all of them have some sort of nature background with a lo-fi backing song. Okay. Sorry for all the background info. Just trying to set the scene. So we got Vizio house over here. We got the L-shaped Vizio condo house. My first year living here, I had multiple times where the TVs would turn on in the middle of the night. It would happen in every room except mine, but it most frequently happens in the spare bedroom. It got to a point that it was happening so often in there, I unplugged the TV because it was freaking me out. But even that doesn't stop it sometimes. They normally turn on at least once a year at random, which brings us to the latest time. A few weeks ago, on my day off, I noticed a Home Depot bucket on my balcony. Turns out the HOA decided they were going to get the gutters cleaned and didn't let us know. So all of a sudden, this guy is on my balcony and I'm freaking out. I immediately locked my balcony door because I had been going in and out while I was cleaning. And anyway, eventually he got done and the day progressed normally after that. Before I went to bed, I was still kind of freaked out. So I made sure the door was locked and everything was secure. Then went to my bedroom and closed the door. I was up a bit late that night, catching up on YouTube videos, so I didn't head to bed until 1-ish. As I turned my lights off, I hear this weird music coming through the wall. In my head, I was like, man, the neighbors sure have their TV loud tonight, before realizing that the sound was coming from the wall that's between my room and the living room. So obviously, I started freaking out again. I get out of the bed and open the door, and of course, I see the light from the TV on at the end of the hall. So I start clearing my condo room by room before getting to the living room, where the TV is on and in screensaver mode. Nobody was in my condo. But when I was finished checking everywhere, I also noticed my balcony door was unlocked. Normally, when the TVs turn on, I don't really get a bad feeling, but this time I did. So once I turned all the lights off, I ran back to my room and locked the door. And that was kind of that. Nothing has happened since then, and I still can't tell if my TVs are just weird or maybe there's an electrical spike that turns them on. If anyone's had similar experiences, I'd love to know. Okay, so a couple things I want to say. First thing I want to say is, as far as ghost activity in my own house, the thing that is so puzzling about this, and I feel like the story has it too, is the minutia of the experience. Like, I had this situation with my phone charger being moved, right? Mm-hmm. That was crazy. Or just like the sound of like that obvious sound of somebody moving in the other room and then realizing you're alone. It's little tiny things that don't sound like real ghostly experiences like you'd normally expect. And so that's why this one's interesting. It's like the TV turning on once in a while is good already, and then being on alert because of the guy in the balcony, and then kind of like having an extra scary one. I get it all. I think I've told a story on here about how I like mindlessly dialed 911 when I was trying to dial my mom because I heard somebody on the roof. Like, I got so scared that my hands dialed 911 even though I thought I was calling my mom. Like, I feel like there's definitely some of that going on here, right? Because the sequence of events, just that's the most natural explanation. There's definitely some of that. But then also, like, perhaps more practically, I don't know if this is definitely the answer or not, but we know these TVs are smart TVs, right? They're Vizios, even though Vizios are like maybe not the most like processor intensive TVs. They're kind of like more budget models, right? That's not what their main thing is. But like, tell me if this sounds familiar, people who live in apartment buildings or condos or whatever, where everybody's kind of close to each other, like Wi-Fi networks, right? Like, they kind of overlap and whatnot. And sometimes when you're like on your phone and you're trying to connect your YouTube to the TV, or you're trying to cast something somewhere, you see other things besides your own stuff, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that stuff on your Wi-Fi or not? No, right?
It's just nearby. You have to connect to it, but sometimes you'll see stuff. Yeah.
I'll see like TVs and stuff that aren't on my own network.
Yeah.
And sometimes I might accidentally touch one, right? Does that TV then turn on in the other apartment where I'm not sitting?
No clue.
Right? So yeah, like,
I don't know.
Does that seem like a possible explanation for what's going on here?
Yeah.
If we know the TVs are already on all the time, because they go to screensaver, and if they're off, they turn on, right? Like, I've definitely turned on my TV using a Chromecast or AirPlay type functionality. So maybe something like that. But I do feel the like sort of puzzling minutia of it, because it's like anybody listening to this is like, well, obviously it's just the TV playing music like it always does and you being dumb. But if it's not, if you're in the house and you know that's not it, then it's really frustrating, because it's hard to experience how you can be so sure that it's not the same thing, even though when you tell the story, it sounds like it might be.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
There you go. Makes sense. One down.
Jesse, I'm curious what you brought, because I feel like there's a chance we might have brought the same thing today. I don't know. That happens sometimes. So why
you guys both got science stuff?
I have a science-y thing. Yeah.
I don't. I have a very specific thing that I think relates to us, and I love it. So Steven Spielberg's beginning interviews about Disclosure Day, which releases on the 12th. And
What does he know?
I must stress that even on this show, for months, according to this article, the movie's been the center of multiple conspiracy theories, some concerning the idea that it actually features real-life extraterrestrial vehicles, or the implication that the whole thing is funded by the deep state, or actually going to be the official announcement about the existence of alien life, or maybe Spielberg himself is slow rolling out the truth. And he's advised or influenced by the deep state to put the movie together. Anyway, on the Rewatchables podcast, Spielberg said the following. The biggest urban legend that is occurring right now involves my movie coming out, Disclosure Day. That somehow I made this in concert with the deep state factions, he said. Some believe my movie is going to make it easier for people to accept the fact that we have actively interacted with secret or extraterrestrials, in secret with extraterrestrials for the past 8 to 9 decades. Am I starting to believe that? Yes, I am. However, I made this movie independent of any influence except what I know and what I've been following the last 7 decades.
Except for what I know.
Yeah,
bro.
that which line is a lot of work.
I hate that he absolutely is like, no, I wasn't influenced, but I'm just going off what I know, which is, how dare you? I know this is the equivalent of when two actors in a movie pretend to be in love to sell tickets to the movie. This is that same thing. Spielberg is actively messing with people here, and it's incredible.
I feel like Spielberg is one of those people who's like not real. Like he has like powers. Like if he wants to go do something, he just calls and it just happens somehow. Like he's past the point of paying for it even. I think he just
He's like
Kojima. You know what I mean? Like Kojima's like, I would like to meet the main actor of this famous, famous franchise. And they're like, within like 2 days, he's like eating in and out with them in Los Angeles somehow. Like, I feel like Spielberg does schmooze his way into places and ask people things with like, you know, big dick energy that maybe other people don't ask and have the guts to ask. Like, you know, if Steven Spielberg asks like a 5-star general some question about something, like maybe the answer is going to be different than if I'd asked him, my daddy says that there's aliens in the White House. You know, like if it's Spielberg, I feel like there is a chance that he just does absorb stuff because of that.
I mean, maybe.
Especially if he's listening.
Maybe. But I guess that also goes to the idea of what he's saying, that he doesn't know any real information. Just what he knows.
Right. Just what he knows.
That's what he
just
knows.
What he knows is fucked up. That's so funny.
Yeah, he's good at what he does, which is promoting his fucking movie. I'm excited. I am fucking thrilled to go see it. And I know, like, again, with Close Encounters, he worked with like Jacques Vallée and all these other people that were in the UFO programs, but they weren't in the programs actively at the time. They were already out of the program at that point. So I don't know. I think he knows things, but I just think what he knows is probably out in public in some way already anyway.
Or it's probably just what he read on Reddit. Like he probably just reads the same stuff we read, but like, it's funny. Like, you know, if you're wondering what my home life was like back when I was growing up, I pitched my dad for Father's Day to go see this like all day screening of all the Indiana Joneses, like the first three ones, bang, 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 Raiders, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And he was like, how about Disclosure Day? he wants to get the family together and go watch Disclosure Day. So I'm kind of excited about it.
I hope it's fucking great. I can't wait.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff.
Well, my topic is science related. This came out yesterday, as far as I have seen. I'm reading this off of as like a science alert thing. I think it was a science subreddit. Physicists have, for the very first time, achieved perfect randomness ever. So I'll read from the article here. One of the hardest things to do in physics is to generate true, provably unpredictable randomness. And that's because it's impossible to determine randomness based on the output alone. Dice may have nicks and flaws that influence how they roll. Computer random number generators are usually driven by algorithms. And even a coin flip, they're governed by physical forces that, in theory, could be predicted to see where it lands. So it's like,
I'll never forget the time that the like fluctuation in like solar radiation or whatever it was, like a solar flare, caused there to be a button press in a Mario 64 speed run. Remember that?
I do remember that. That's right. Yeah. That's
it's like
crazy.
Something like that. Yeah. It's never just randomness.
No. The difficulty obviously for them lies not in generating numbers that appear random, but in showing that no one could have possibly predicted the outcome and that the system isn't secretly affected by subtle hidden rules or biases. Now, a team of physicists at ETH Zurich in Switzerland has overcome that challenge by leveraging one of the strangest phenomena in quantum mechanics, entanglement. Quote, the resulting sequence of zeros and ones is now really perfectly random, and we can even certify that, says physicist Renato Renner at ETH Zurich. Randomness is crucial to modern security. It's the core feature that makes passwords, authentication codes, encryption keys. Let's skip through this part. Recent examples of security weaknesses include, like, they talk about the 2024 PuTTY vulnerability, in which one of the world's most widely used SSH clients had a flaw in its random number generation of cryptographic signatures. Let's give examples of where it doesn't work. If a code is not perfectly random, it's basically easier for attackers to guess. Any conventional electronic device like a phone or a computer is completely deterministic, Renner told Adam Kovac of Scientific American. So it's actually very difficult for a computer or any other electronic device to generate a random value. To try to find a solution to the problem, the researchers turned to a quantum experiment known as the Bell test. They created a pair of entangled quantum bits, or qubits, separated by 30 meters, which is 98 feet for us Americans, apart, and cooled to temperatures close to absolute zero. Entangled particles are those that, when measured, show similarities that cannot be explained by classical physics alone. The measurements performed on the qubits produced correlations so strong that they could not be explained by ordinary hidden rules or pre-programmed behavior. This achievement required major technical improvements to both the stability and speed of the experiment, allowing the team to perform more than 1 billion Bell tests trials over roughly 9 hours. Previous random number generators could produce highly random outputs, but they still relied on trusted hardware and perfectly random starting conditions. The Zurich team instead demonstrated something called randomness amplification, deliberately starting with imperfect randomness, taking randomness, basically saying by taking randomness that may contain subtle flaws or biases, and transforming it into randomness that can be certified taking as perfectly unpredictable.
Randomness and using randomness. I'm just, my brain is just melting. I hear the words you're saying.
Thank you. Yes. I hear the words you're saying.
Conceptually.
They did this thing and no algorithm, no one can predict whatever comes next. Yeah, you might be able to accidentally guess the number, but there's no way to predict via math or whatever what the next result of this thing is doing.
Is there some way to like use that randomness, the same randomness over and over again? Like, can you use a string of like 1 million random characters to represent randomness? Will it still convey the quality of randomness if you use the same randomness like seed? You know what I'm saying? Is that weird?
I don't know.
Is that
what you're
like
saying,
fucked up?
Your brain's breaking when you're trying
like
to explain.
If a string of random numbers is a roguelike seed, right? If just producing a string of truly random numbers is the same as a roguelike seed, can you then use the same seed and like simulate randomness again using the same now non-random numbers because they were at one point generated randomly? Do they still retain a random quality? I think yes.
It's called randomness amplification.
Yeah, I think yes, it does. But that's I don't know. Look,
well, it's not a real.
I hear what you're saying.
Basically, introducing this like seemingly random, but it's not perfect randomness, and this thing makes it perfectly random. They say, "quote, crucially, randomness amplification has been proven to be impossible by purely classical means. The result is a system capable of generating certifiably perfect randomness, even when starting with flawed or imperfect randomness, and it's also device independent." Which means the randomness does not depend on trusting the hardware itself, but on the quantum behavior observed in the experiment. It's just simply random. Yeah. In the long term, the researchers say that their system could perform the same function atomic clocks perform for timekeeping, a physically certified source of randomness against which others can be measured and set. Quote, the technical improvements allowed us for the first time to create random numbers that will remain perfectly random for all eternity, no matter what analytical methods are used to assess their randomness. So that's here. I'll give you the article, but there's something that this goes at that I was reading about on Reddit, people talking about it and other things of like, well, what does this mean? And basically what it implies, let me just bring back the post that I was reading here, is that like, so basically this is talking about the base nature of reality, right? They say it's an answer maybe only philosophers can discuss. The base nature of reality now is one of two things: pure chaotic randomness, or what they call super determinism, which means no matter how hard we look, while it may not be pure randomness, it will only ever appear as pure randomness to us. But everything is determined. Everything could be figured out. It's just we will never be able to understand how that works. Does that make sense?
Like, yes, I think, you know, like every time I think I walk away from one of these things feeling like maybe I understood what I read, I then ask somebody about it who knows, or I watch like a video about it. And what I believe to be the case is the example of what a stupid person thinks.
Wait, what? Say that again?
Like, I'll go watch a video that's like, a lot of people think quantum mechanics is what Alex thinks. And I and I'm just like always wrong about everything. So I just find it just so hard to wrap my mind around in a way that is like, I don't feel literate in it. Let's put it that way. I want to feel literate in it, but I am not.
No, and I wish I was the same, right? Like I feel like occasionally I have a basic understanding of like the most basic thing. And then I'm like, no, then it says something that I don't understand. And I'm like, no, I don't.
Right. It's fucking, but yeah, I'm most fascinated by the concept of whether a list of random, truly perfect random numbers continually carries the quality of randomness beyond the one-time use. Like if you ever were in a situation where you needed random numbers, could you just use the same string of random numbers all the time because it's random?
Well, it wouldn't be random at that point if you're using them multiple times.
But they would be random. But they would be random because they were generated randomly.
Yeah, that, yes, correct. But it's like you could, I mean, but like, if.
Like, what was that random string of numbers from 3 years ago? There it is. We have it. It's random. It's always, it's like, numbers, a list of numbers either is imperfectly random or it's perfectly random, right? So if something's perfectly random, can you then use that perfect randomness all the time? I think yes. I think yes, but I don't know.
I'm like reading about, trying to understand like what they were saying about super determinism. And they're saying it's like that the random choices the detectors make were correlated with the particle states all along because everything, including the experimenter's decision, was fixed together at the start. In Bell test language, it denies measurement independence, the assumption that your choice of what to measure is uncorrelated with the thing you're measuring. Superdeterminism is exactly the assumption the protocol has to take. It's not refuted. It can't be refuted by this or any Bell experiment because it's the one loophole that lives upstream of the measurement choices themselves. Basically, it's all baked in from the start. There is no such thing as randomness. Everything is determined.
It's a very annoying viewpoint. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, but that's like, that's what it gets to, right? It's like, and who we don't, we can't know.
Right, exactly. No. Nuts.
I feel
nuts.
Like yeah. I'm missing something here. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just, I am struggling with the, there's something doesn't make sense to me. And I can't figure out if it's.
I'm sure I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't.
And why? And you know what I'm thinking about right now? I'm looking at us three sitting here on this window, and it you know, part of it has to do probably with just the size of my specific window. But for some reason, Jesse, you're like a little bit closer to Mathis. Like you're like not centered between the two of us in my preview window.
Well, that's because I want to be. I mean, like for obvious reasons.
Does that have to do with quantum? Is that quantum
what?
Positioning?
What?
Is that super determinism?
Is that super determinism?
Is the reason that it's like this because I was going to look and see if it was like this?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. No. But that's the thing this experiment can't answer is like, it can't tell you if the base nature of reality is random or something that is going to always appear as random to us because we can't comprehend it. What it does show is that they created something that no algorithm can predict as to what's going to happen and should have no biases because they took quantum entangled qubits and froze them to a state of near absolute zero to generate
whatever the fuck that means. Yeah.
Put them in a state of superposition.
It did get me thinking about the nature of randomness though, which is cool.
Which is the nature of reality in a lot of ways.
There's like a scientist out there listening who wants to break it down for me. I would love that.
Yeah, I would love that.
I do. Whenever you guys do, I read it every time. And I love it. Especially on Reddit. I love that. So one time somebody made a video for us. That was great.
That was pretty good.
One time somebody asked a question at a show and was like, what do you want to know about astrophysics? I liked that, though. I wished he was mic'd up because it would have been better on the live recording. But that's, you know, that's a question. That's something for me to keep in mind next time, you know. But
could really have bumped his audio. I'm sure we could have grabbed it.
Yeah.
Dude, no, I got it. It's just, it sounds like he's in the room where they kept the Ark of the Covenant at the end of the movie. Like,
you know, maybe that's exactly where it was. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's the reality. Who fucking knows what it is, dude? Maybe at the base level, reality is chaos, and that is all there is. Who knows?
Random reality. Oh, there goes gravity.
All right, thank you all so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/chillmanautopod. We'll be back next week with a brand new minisode for y'all. We appreciate you. We love you.
Palms are sweaty. He's nervous.
Goodbye.